Hey, everybody, there's a couple of people we want to thank for supporting us on Patreon this month, kicking it off with Aaron C. Hollis,
Adam Marks,
Adriel Moreland,
Amanda Harris,
Amy Gonzalez,
Andrew Tillman,
Benjamin Brown,
Brett Macris,
Brian Hall,
Chelsea Mack,
Clemens Soil Lure,
Demand Ryan,
Dan Snow,
Danny Heck,
Danny Ali,
Dennis Scott,
Eduardo Martinez,
Aaron Dorian,
Jeffrey Reicher,
Gerard DeVillier,
Hugo Sanchez.
Sorry about that. Jason Williams.
Jessica Ashcraft.
Joe Crack.
John George.
Jonathan Jong.
Joseph Kelly.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Kaylin Swift.
Catherine Anderson.
Kendall Wilson.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Lee Brown.
Luana Thomas.
Lucas Sink.
Mark Carrillo.
Mark Kiefer.
Mark Zeller.
Matt Fennell.
Megan Thigpen.
Michael Sturgeon.
Mike D'Argenio.
Mitchell McDonald.
Nick Grayson.
Karen Comstock.
Omnia Soul Art.
Perry Telefero.
Pip Pete 2020.
Pauly Time. Primetime Pauly G.
Rahadian Strahardo.
Rahadian Sastruardio. And Tamela Rush.
The 12 Banch.
Tiago Nascimento and Victor Perez.
W. Blaine.
Will Buchanan and
Zika's Viral Comics.
Thank you all so much for supporting us on the show. We appreciate it. And now, the live show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming out. Very excited to have you here. Unprecedented event right here at the top of the show.
That's right.
Pete LePage has something to say.
That's right. So as we all know, next week is JT Sizzle's birthday.
Okay. JT Sizzle, for translation, is Justin Tyler. Yeah. Sizzle is his last name.
I was born as Justin Sizzle.
Oh,
the Sizzle family.
All right. Well,
you never heard of the Sizzler, the restaurant chain?
I have, yes.
That's us. We make the food purposefully bad.
All right, great. Well, some lovely...
My name, not to interrupt, is Alex Outback Steakhouse.
Yes.
Well, you did interrupt, so please stop. Some lovely people from the audience have gotten you some gifts.
That's really nice.
Yeah. And we're gonna give them to you.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Two presents for you.
This is very nice.
This is
going to take a little while.
Yeah.
So,
well, Justin, as we know, doesn't like to break the paper. He's just slowly peel it off.
Paper's precious.
Come on.
A tree gave it up for this stuff.
Yeah. Definitely a very multicolored tree with spaceships, I want to say, on it. Ooh.
It's fun monsters.
Oh, I wouldn't open that one.
In the box, there's a drawing of me there.
It says, what's in the box? Happy birthday. That's a head. That is a very flat head is what's going on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look at all this.
What'd you get?
So many t-shirts.
You got baby tea after baby tea.
This is great.
Yeah, wait. What kind of tea is it? Tell the people at home, Justin.
This says American Panascope. It's a home of the rectal probe.
Yeah. Okay.
What's that?
Wait, what's it from?
From Joe vs. Volcano. Nailed
it.
That is my favorite movie of all time.
There you go.
Kermit the Frog. You guys, what you did is you listened to movies and stuff that I like, and you got t-shirts for them.
Oh,
that's a very nice present.
Wow.
Kermit the Frog t-shirt. I famously watched The Muppets and sobbed through it so much, my family thinks I'm weird.
Yeah.
Because it made me
Cyclops
cry.
Cyclops t-shirt.
Cyclops going to wear that.
Yes.
Every Tuesday. I'll wear that every Tuesday from here on out.
Oh, man.
And this one says, in log, this is about Twin Peaks.
Oh, nice.
My log does not judge. Huge Twin Peaks fan.
Yeah.
Wow. If there's more t-shirts in here, my wife's not going to be happy.
you want to hand me those? I'll put the back of the box.
No, I'm going to put them all on my body in one.
Oh,
minute.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
like
how you do it.
T-shirt pile. What does this one say? This box says something on it.
It says, enjoy. It was all Aaron. She's very thoughtful. Signed, John. And then in another note, it was both of us. Signed, Aaron. Which I think
Who do you believe?
Who do you believe?
Oh, my God. Look at all these t-shirts.
We got Archie in the gang. We got Starman. Great.
This is great.
Starman gets a round of applause.
It's the biggest fandom. A shirt featuring my dog.
Pip Don't Slip.
Pip Don't Slip.
Yes! Yes.
Which I don't
Pip
have.
Pip Don't Slip, by the way, is an inside joke from our Patreon Slack, so enjoy that.
Sandman t-shirt, oh, huge wow. fan of that guy.
And then finally, wait, not finally, because it looks like there's one more thing in there.
Here we go.
Last t-shirt is a
Willow.
Yes. Oh, wow.
A Willow t-shirt.
All of them.
They hit all the big ones.
And there's one more tiny little thing in here.
This is a Twin Peaks themed wine stopper,
wow.
which is great because I love wine and television.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Early birthday.
Oh, wait, there's two more boxes here. Yeah. Buckle up. Man.
Justin, happy birthday. Clean your fucking shit up.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I definitely will. This is a full load of laundry. thank you so much.
Great.
That's so nice, you guys.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's give them a round of applause,
everybody.
Because they are amazing. Both of them, mainly Aaron, I'm going to assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mainly Aaron. Okay, there we go. Thank you guys so much for coming.
So
we
nice.
Have no presents so for our nice. Amazing guests, unfortunately. So
they brought their presents here by being here.
They are two writers for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. They are Matthew Earhart and Pat Castle.
Yeah. Nice job.
Come on out.
Yeah, welcome, guys. Have
Hello.
A seat. Have a microphone.
Please, come sit down.
Hello.
Thank you two so much Hello. For coming out. I have to apologize about something. I have to apologize because I said we don't have any presents for you, but I actually do have a present for you guys.
Oh, wow.
You both work for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, but you came here to talk about Walking Dead. I went to the Walking Dead panel at New York Comic Con, so I saved something for both of you. Since
oh, my
I know
God.
You're such
oh,
big
this is
fans.
Amazing. I'm looking forward
this
to
was,
this.
I don't want to brag too much, the free swag they gave out.
Ooh.
It is a Walking Dead poster featuring Daryl. And
Carol
and
Michonne.
Michonne.
The original three, kind of the show.
There you go.
Yes.
You can hang that up in your office or throw it out or whatever
oh,
you want to do.
Well.
It's very close to being garbage.
Well, we have different
right
offices, so
yes,
actually now this is going to be kind of a feud.
It will. You know what? I will graciously let you have it, Pat.
Okay. No, I mean, I insist, honestly. I insist.
I'll tell you
That's
what.
It's the sign of a
Let's
great president. Nobody
easy.
Wants it.
10 years from now, I will visit both of you wherever the poster ends up. It's fine.
I thought you were saying, we will cut the poster in half, and each of you gets one half.
How is Full Frontal going? How's everything going over there?
It's going good. We're
yeah,
off this
well.
Week. We're off this week, so we got to binge on The Walking Dead, really.
That's what I did.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, nice.
Is it crazy over there with all the political stuff going on?
It's a struggle to make, you know, comedy out of these horrific headlines. It can be a challenge, but, you know.
Not for me. It's a breeze.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's easy for you to make jokes.
Yeah.
You like to fiddle while the Titanic goes down? Is that what's going on?
No. I'm with Madeline. It gets crazy. I mean, it's rewarding to have an outlet to kind of express
Absolutely.
Yourself for this stuff, but it also can drive you crazy. And you know, but, I mean, that, there's a reason I watch The Walking Dead all the time. It's just because
it's
a great
less depressing.
Yeah, it's less depressing. Yeah,
well, it'd be easier to write a comedy show about the news of the Walking Dead world, really.
Right. Well, mostly
yeah.
because you'd
be
a in
idea.
A cardboard box.
Yeah.
Talking
Who on
nobody.
The show would host their daily show?
Oh, interesting.
Did you?
Eugene?
The Daryl show?
Yes.
It'd be definitely
I
be
like Eugene.
Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene would definitely host the daily show.
He doesn't think he's funny. He's just a weirdo.
Oh, I think he does think he's funny.
You
but
think
he's
clever.
Not funny. Yeah, he thinks he's clever.
You guys watch The Walking Dead, not to take a little swerve.
No,
watch,
of course.
Do you watch Fear the Walking Dead?
I do not.
Okay, because they kind of did something like
oh,
this.
Oh, yes.
And it was one of the craziest things I've seen in any of the Walking Dead franchises. They have a character called Althea, who's played by Maggie Grace, and she's a documentary filmmaker. They introduced her. She's a journalist. They introduced her last season. So she runs around with a video camera, and she's like, I need to tell a story. What's your story? Doesn't quite work. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But they decided to make a PSA for their current mission, which is to help people out at different truck stops. So they had a mockumentary episode of Fear the Walking
oh,
Dead.
Wow.
Which is fine. It didn't really work, again, because they still need to do, like, they were showing people blowing up at mines, and, like, why would you put that into...
And so at the time of... at the time of the Fear of the Walking Dead... there still is like enough infrastructure to actually like share this on the internet or something
no,
like that?
No, that's the thing. There's not enough structure. She's editing tapes in her truck and then duping them and then dropping them off at truck stops.
So nobody watches it, which makes it like everyone's mockumentary.
Yeah.
And upload to
so
the internet.
How are the people watching those tapes?
They as far as I can tell, and they didn't totally explain it, they set up TVs in the truck stops that are attached to generators, which seems like a very poor use of resources.
Definitely.
This is a horrible idea.
It gets worse, though. They had a second episode, so they meet this new big bad. Her name is Virginia. She runs a group called the Settlers, who come into conflict with the main group that we're following, and they know all about them because they've, of course, gone to the truck stops and watched these PSAs. The second mockumentary episode that they do starts off with Ginny's group makes their own PSA that then they take and drop off at all those truck stops to fight against the original PSA.
So like propaganda wars.
Exactly.
And then remind you of anything? You can't tell in the podcast, but I looked at everyone.
Yeah.
Like I'm the smartest person in the world.
Really big eyes. I see a lot of your work on the show shines.
And everyone fainted by how much truth I just dropped.
That sounds like a parody of what you would do on a post-apocalyptic
it's
show.
Bonkers. I just kept thinking about it because then they respond by Althea's like, no, I got to make another PSA to capture their PSA, which is like, who's doing this? Who is like running from zombies, stopping at a truck stop being like, I got to find out what's going on with Ginny's group and Althea's group.
A dedicated
fan. I guess
and to get some corn nuts and, you know, take a shower or whatever.
Just chill out. Let's talk about The Walking Dead, though. You just caught up on it, Pat. You've been regularly watching it.
You're a diehard fan, Pat.
Make us all watch before you come on.
I don't, do I make you watch a freak? I guess you guys implicitly I'm doing that, yeah.
You make me watch it. Like, you always want to talk about it, and I always feel guilty that I'm so far behind.
Well, no, what's fascinating is Mavin has been reading the comics maybe since issue one.
So you're more
of a hardcore fan than I am.
I've never read issue one.
Like, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast at home, Mathen is actually dressed in his full zombie makeup right now.
Full cosplay. Huge fan. I don't know why he's denying it.
Yeah, he's wearing a shirt that says Robert Kirkman was right.
He was. I mean, he was right.
He called it.
Yeah.
Did you read the comic from the
beginning? No. I started when the show was announced, like before the show started airing. I was like, you know what? Let me catch up on this comic that's about to become a TV show. And so I have like the first 13 trades and then the issues after that. So like from the 70s on.
That's definitely what it feels like.
Yeah.
When did you first start reading it? Because The Walking Dead was a rare comic where it didn't really catch on quite right away. It was a very limited print run. It's one of the only comics where the first issue is actually valuable right now.
Yeah. God, I don't remember. Whenever we probably started talking about it on the show, I have to imagine, which probably like a couple of arcs in at that point.
I feel like I started on the, I read the third trade, the first three trades and then started.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Pete, do you remember? Same? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, we probably read it all at the same
point. Do y'all own the first issue?
No.
Okay. I'm rich.
Oh, I thought maybe you had it from the beginning or something. And then...
Did you say you're ripped?
Yeah, that too. Check it out under here. You
know, someone ripped. Look at this.
Don't touch that. Don't
look
touch
at these
that.
Babies. Ooh, ow. Oh, they hurt. Oh, just by touching them.
Don't touch your six-pack.
It's definitely some sort of six-pack under there.
Yeah. Definitely.
No, I just thought maybe one of you guys had it because you bought it originally, and now it's valuable, and I would Ocean's 11 heist it.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so.
No, not after you say you're going to break into my apartment. I definitely don't have it.
And let's just say you wouldn't have
gave away the con. Sorry.
You wouldn't have to Ocean's 11 your way into Pete's apartment. You could Ocean's 1 your way into Pete's apartment.
How are you feeling about The Walking Dead right now? How are you feeling about the current season? It just kicked off on Sunday.
I'm intrigued. I like that there's a sort of a status quo with a little bit of conflict on the horizon. I'm curious about this whole satellite.
Yeah. So the first episode starts in space.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big move.
Yeah. I thought I was watching the wrong show when I watched it.
Right.
A satellite, a Russian satellite. So
like it was for all mankind or something like that.
Yeah. Good to Apple TV Plus.
Hi. I'm Tim Cook.
very cool.
Yeah. I was bummed though because I was like, I think it was a fun plot point, but also it kind of gave me unfair expectations because it was like, it turned out just like the satellite crashed in the woods and caused a forest fire that they had to cross this border with their enemies. But I thought it was like, oh my God, are we getting like space zombies this season?
Yeah,
it's gonna be amazing.
That would be cool.
Amazingly insane.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I thought, or beyond all reason, oh, there's some people on this space station that's falling down. And yeah. We're going to meet some space people who are up there the entire time. For my day job, I actually interviewed Angela Kang, who wrote the episode and is the showrunner. And her explanation was they were looking for, they were kind of talking about different things, different set pieces they could do, and they actually fell out actual research that this kind of happens all the time, that older satellites do fall out of the sky apparently all the time.
Really?
That's disturbing.
And given the timing of what they were talking about, they talked to an expert about it. They're like, yeah, the Russian satellites that are up there would be about the right age to fall down at this point. Mm-hmm. The other reason they did it is because the whole plot line that's going on this season is there's the Whisperers, who are these humans who wear zombie skin, who are watching them all the time. Eugene is trying to build a radio, so they have all these communication things going on. So they wanted to do a metaphor of communications failing, falling down with the satellite as things were starting to break down between
very
the Whisperers.
Very subtle
and the
metaphor.
Too subtle. Wow. Too subtle, I think.
I thought it was just like an event where different people in different locations, that's like the one, like, okay, and this is when the sky started falling.
I'm with Pete.
Because the structure was, it was a very unique structure for that show. It was like three stories told in like parallel time. Yeah. It had those title cards, which they've never done that before, as far as I can remember.
No, I don't
think every act was like had a title, and it was a different group, and then you learn through like the radio thing that they were all happening at the same time until the space fire.
Yeah, but that allowed us to catch up on the status quo for everybody. Like, right. Hey, this is where everybody is now.
It is. I mean, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it does feel a little bit like an episode of reality television, Walking Dead now. It feels like everyone's just like pretty chill. There's not a lot of emotional stakes.
How much reality television do you watch?
Specifically, while I was watching, I was like, this feels like an episode of Survivor, where like there's like some artifice, like they have to do certain things. But otherwise, everyone's just like, hey, yeah, let's go do our thing. We're doing our thing, and then we're done with our thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with you with the middle of the episode, which did have, and which I thought was nice. Like, it did bring Daryl and Carol back together. They're riding around on their bike, which is really cool. And
apparently, Carol's a pirate now.
I completely forgot. Is that,
that was Michonne in the comics.
Yeah, exactly. She's taking the Michonne storyline.
I think you don't take the thing. I'm sure they changed that. I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad Michonne stayed. You don't take Michonne out of the main action.
I mean,
Rick. She's the new Rick, I feel like. I mean, I guess you could debate that. But
in that she's about to leave the show?
Kind of.
But
I like to
Sort of.
If I would have turned it on, because I haven't watched in a long time, and Michonne wasn't there, I would immediately shut it off.
But Daryl's still there. But why? Because she did some cool stuff with the sword.
There were some scenes she wasn't in. Did you turn it off for those scenes?
Well, that's when I eat.
That's when you eat.
Yeah, okay. So what is your vision of the show if you only watch the Michonne? Like the 7 minutes that Michonne's
Michonne
on the show.
Michonne and Daryl are the best parts.
I'm sorry, I have to ask more about this. Do you eat whenever you don't see Michonne, or just when
constantly eating? Oh wait, there's a little picture of Michonne taped to his glasses.
Yeah, that's right.
That keeps him from not eating.
Oh, you're on the Michonne diet.
Yeah, that's the diet.
Smart. Always keep her in your vision.
Yeah.
All right. You said that's when I eat like it was a burden. Also, that's when I feed.
I'm just wondering. Like, it's funny because I do feel like Daryl and Michonne are the last two mega stars of that show from season one or season two or whatever. I don't know. Michonne's a little later, but you know, like they're like probably the two like biggest stars in the show. But I do feel like they're both probably not long. I mean, I could see them both not being on the show in two seasons, and I don't think the show will stop happening. And it feels they're barely in this episode anyway.
Wait,
it feels
what else is Daryl gonna do?
He has a motorcycle show.
Yeah.
The network gave him.
And no range.
And his restaurant.
His restaurant.
So now he's selling whiskey as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Walking Dead liquor license.
I mean, that's like right. His brand is so.
Basically, he's a future president of the United States of America. If I put those pieces
together.
President Daryl.
Right. Not even his real name.
No. None of us know.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows his name.
It's weird that in the credits they're like, Daryl, I think?
And it's a question mark.
Yeah.
It's very rare to do that in a show.
Very weird. They only do that on what? Two and a Half Men was the only place they did that?
Yeah, that's definitely. Because they were like, no one wants to credit for this, so they just have question marks. I will say, Michonne and Daryl are the sort of the heart of the show, but they don't do, like, Michonne's whole thing was like, she cut up some zombies.
Oh,
very
slow
cool.
motion.
Slow action. Motion, which oh, you love man, that. Because yeah. it's more time you have before feedings.
Right, yeah.
while all she did was walk on a bridge. She was like, a bridge! I lost Rick on a bridge, and it was like a weird...
Hey, fuck you, man. It was you try weird. Losing your
I don't know. There's a lot of bridges.
That's what I'm saying. Now, a bridge, anything, there are bridges everywhere. Anytime you see a bridge, you're like, oh,
sorry that somebody had an emotional connection to something.
To a bridge?
To a bridge, though.
Yes.
But a different bridge.
I bet there's a legitimate bridge. I'm only half joking. There's probably some sort of bridge phobia.
Yeah,
that has
sure.
a term that's definitely not bridge phobia. It's
yeah, but the, sure. bridge phobia is about like falling into a river or something. It's not about
just
like
a bridge. Yeah.
I had a bad experience at a bridge.
Who
now
had
I
the
don't
bridge phobia?
Right. Like if Rick died Michonne. In a house, would she be like, right. I can't look at houses?
Hey, yeah. fuck you for making fun of Michonne, man. She's going through
I'm
stuff.
I'm just saying, it's annoying to me that she's in the show too much.
But it's
because,
been years.
When she's off screen is the only time I feed.
Nice.
Who's the? But who's like the next... When I was watching, I was wondering, again, with like assuming that maybe in the not too distant future, there's no Daryl, there's no Michonne, for whatever
reason.
The show's
going to end, man.
I don't think
the ratings are going down.
Who's on deck to be the next like superstar
Eugene.
Of the show?
Well, this is a good.
Eugene.
I have a follow up question. Can you tell me any other characters' names?
Eugene.
Eugene. Yeah, we all know Eugene.
Gabriel.
Gabriel.
I saw both of them at the con.
Cool. Yeah.
That's Gabriel, I think Gabe. Wait, is Gabriel the guy with the metal hand?
No. So I would say Aaron.
The priest.
So there's Aaron, Gabriel. Who
Aaron
yes. Ross Marquand, who everybody loves. He's great.
Yes.
He has physically and emotionally also taken over part of the Rick roll from the Rick roll. All right,
you just got Rick roll.
Just roll it.
You're never going to give this up.
Put that in post.
Aaron. Thanks. I'm out, everybody. Yeah. That's all the time I have. But he has taken on Rick's
role.
Position.
You can say it.
No, I
can't.
We really love The Walking Dead and memes from 11 years ago. Yeah. We're so cool.
Still relevant.
Rick's trials.
Exactly. He has the beard. He has the same haircut that Rick has in the comics at this point. He has the one hand like Rick. He has the weapon arm, which is pretty sweet. So I could see him stepping up. The other thing that they revealed at New York Comic Con, two things. One, it has been picked up for an 11th season, so that is going to happen. And Maggie is coming back. Lauren Cohen is coming
yeah.
back.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she's pretty popular as well, despite the success of Whiskey Cavalier.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
Very wow. big.
Sorry.
Shots.
Come on. Sorry, Stan.
How dare you?
I have to apologize. I'm sorry.
What a jerk.
Come
sorry.
On.
The ABC Network. Think
I forgot.
You
know, we never revealed this, but Boothman Prime, the guy in our booth, is yeah. Scott Foley.
Oh, wow. Nice. Wow.
From Whiskey Cavalier. Whiskey Cavalier.
Everyone knows the yes. cast of Whiskey Cavalier.
I think you actually love the show. You know all these details about it.
I know the name of the show and two actors.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, if she does come back, I would put her like on the high list of like the next sort of
sure.
definitely.
Stars. She's... But yeah, Ross Marquand's character, that can we talk about the first scene where they do the like fucking...
Oh, the
like 300 style yeah, Centurion,
yeah,
like shield thing. I mean, the show when it gets like medieval sometimes, and I have to shake yeah. my head and be like, "How is this?" I don't mean this in a negative way. Like, I'm yeah. just like the way it's. I mean, it's a show where the first scene is a satellite burning through space, and
very
the next
medieval.
Scene. No, I'm saying it's the opposite. Yeah, it's, yeah. And the next scene is like the 300 movie.
Yeah, they have to train.
What did you think about the opening?
The satellite or the training sequence?
The training sequence. So for those of you who didn't watch it, they're on the beach. They have a new generation that they're training to fight zombies. They keep one after the other letting some zombies out of this boat, and they're hitting them with javelins. They're hitting them with arrows. They don't have really guns that they're using anymore. They're using,
smart.
To your point, more medieval weapons.
Yeah, I thought again, it set up how things are now. I'm sure it was very expensive, and it was like huge. They were like, "Hey, we need a big set piece for the
yeah
for
totally.
The premiere." So like, let's start with a bang, and that was that. It was fine,
like that, and the fire. I feel like were the big like.
Yeah, I'm not.
Welcome to the new season. It's because it's usually like two big set pieces like that in the premiere, and then the rest of it is like someone with a clipboard being like, we need to get more, like, here's the state of the economy. We need more beets from Oceanside or whatever.
We're running out of
radishes are low.
Oh, I can't wait for the radishes.
But those scenes exist in the show.
I will say...
That's so, like Survivor.
The last scene of the episode, I liked quite a bit. Carol and Daryl spend most of the episode riding around on his bike because it is an episode of Riding with Norman Reedus.
Yep.
Yes.
Norman Reedus.
That's his name. That's remembered it. There you go.
There it is. Because you're a huge fan of Riding with Norman Reedus.
I don't actually watch The Walking Dead. I only watch Riding with Norman
Reedus. No, he's a huge
fan
of his whiskey and his restaurant.
Yes.
I think that might just be a commercial.
You think?
For motorcycles and whiskey.
Okay.
Those things
mix.
That's
right.
Yeah.
I'm just drinking whiskey. I
think you just joined a motorcycle gang and you think it's viral marketing.
Yeah, you're riding with Norman Reedus.
I am right now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up, man.
Very cool.
That's crazy.
Anyway. I mean, God bless him, though. Like, I think they were like, you're our biggest star on the network right now, Norman Reedus. What do you want to do? And he's like, pay me to ride a motorcycle. And he's like, all right, we'll do anything you want to do because we can't afford to lose another star.
Yeah. AMC, All Motorcycle Club. It's called.
Wow.
But the end of the episode, after they spent riding around and trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives, Carol is looking over the destruction that's been caused by the forest fire that has forced them to cross the Whisperer's border. And the whole episode, the Whisperers have been off screen. At the very end, their leader, Alpha, played by Samantha Morton, comes out of the woods, and they have this great shot of them just looking at each other over this divide.
Yeah.
And I thought that, forgetting about the rest of the episode, which was a cool way to kick off the main conflict of the season.
But yeah, because there's so much history between those two characters. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Alpha killed Carol's son.
Yeah.
Alpha killed Carol's son?
Yeah, that was at the penultimate episode of the previous season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Henry, her adopted son. So Carol...
Oh, right.
When we first met Carol, she had a daughter named Sophia who got lost in a barn and became a zombie, and Carol went a little crazy.
Yeah. Very dark
then
episode.
Then she kind of adopted two other daughters. One of those daughters killed the other daughter, and then she had to kill that second daughter herself.
Yeah, she murdered. Yeah. Really yeah. Look at the flowers.
And then finally she was like, all right, I feel a little better. Adopted the son named Henry, and then his head got cut off and stuck on a spike. So she's pretty fucked up right now.
Not really. She's like riding a boat and having fun.
I guess so. I don't know about fun. I don't think she's having fun.
She seemed in a really good mood that episode. She made jokes.
Maybe because she was back on land.
Yeah.
Like, she was so sick of the sea and being back on land, like, lightened her mood.
Are there fish zombies? Because they were eating a lot of fish in this episode, and I was worried they were going to eat a...
Are there dog zombies? I don't think I've seen any animal zombies at all.
I think it's just
what a fucking nightmare.
The deer in this episode, it looked like it was part zombie the way it was.
Which did?
The deer that they tried to shoot.
Well, how about Daryl? He's like, don't cross the border.
Yeah.
He's like being sort of like... Really,
he's a chump.
Very un-Daryl.
Whoa. Take it easy with calling Daryl a chump.
I agree. I thought he was being a little chumpy.
You only drink water when Daryl's not on screen. Yeah. So this is like very important.
Yeah, you're parched.
So much of your life is built for like, Maine. When do you sleep?
I don't.
Okay. He sleeps whenever Aaron is on screen.
Just like the rest of us. Okay.
Hey! We're going to move on then and talk about our next topic. In lieu of a regular stack, we are going to talk about New York Comic Con. It was just this weekend. New York Comic Con. Who went to New York Comic Con in the crowd? That side of the audience. That's interesting. And Kevin went eight times.
Also, you can't see, but Boothman's racing his
Boothman. But mostly this side of the audience over here went to Comic Con. Did you guys go to Comic Con?
I did go to Comic Con. I'm a big fan of comic books. And
you sound like you're lying.
As a result, I don't have a huge life, and that's why I had a weekend free to go to Comic Con.
So specifically just the comic books, that like, don't you mostly go either really early or really late to get like to go to the actual comic book section or something?
I try to have a plan because Comic Con is full of people in costumes who aren't really there for the comics.
Right.
Wow. I'm a purist. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, it also just gets so packed, I feel like. You just want to go there and get your loot.
I do one day of recon, figure out where I'm going to focus my energy.
Nice, dude.
And then I focus on that.
Meticulous. Yeah.
Pete is very into this.
Yeah, I like
you
it.
Like
I just go for the latest Dance Dance Revolution game, check out that booth, and then I'm out. It's great. Grab a churro and a water, and I'm good.
I usually get there at 7 a.m., stand to the Funko booth all day, get my sack full of Funkos, and then I'm gone. I'm good to go.
Sack full of Funko.
Did you see? You went to the con.
I did.
Did you see people with the amount of fucking Funko Pops that they were buying?
People love
it's fucking insane.
Why are you judging me?
No, because I walked into the con to get my badge set up, and the Funko Pop booth is right there, and people are like, hello, here's a sack of Funko Pops that is larger than me.
Why are you angry?
That's insane.
It's too many Funkos.
It's not too many. Where are you putting
them? Are they rare ones or something?
They're the new Bitcoin. You haven't heard?
Yeah.
Funko Pops are the new Bitcoin.
God damn it.
Yeah.
The economy's
actually, they've never
fucked.
Shown that on The Walking Dead, but I believe their economy is Funko Pop based.
Yep. As it should be.
That's fun. Yeah, the villain.
Right. Yeah. Like, Eugene's like, we have a serious deficiency of Funko Pops.
Good Eugene.
Thank you.
That's a good Eugene.
I'm surprised you guys haven't. Have Funko Pops of you made. It feels like they make them of, like, if you do something adjacent to the kind of Comic-Con community and
so
have an audience.
Well, I'll tell you, not to keep plugging my day job here, but one of my writers worked on a story for a while. He was trying to get, he doesn't even like the show, but he was trying to get them to make Bosch Funko Pops. Mm. And
the TV show Bosch.
Are we talking about Bosch? Sorry. I can talk about Bosch all day.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Bosch head.
Are you really?
No. I watch the show. I'm not a huge Bosch head, though.
So he didn't even watch it, but he thought it would be funny to try to get a Bosch Funko Pop made. And they shut it down. They were like, no, you need 30,000 people who are interested in getting one of these Funko
that
Pops
That seems
made.
Doable, though, like it, for a lot of
not
people.
Not for Bosch, apparently.
Not for Bosch.
Well, Bosch doesn't even suck.
But us, definitely, I think. I think
we're definitely.
That
yeah, we'll
threshold.
So they, but they will make it for you if you get 30,000.
Yeah, I mean, 30,000 signatures, and then you can get one.
I mean, not necessarily that. Like, I think they need to be guaranteed that they're going to sell 30,000.
We're acting like, I mean, it's just a larger Lego man. Like, what are we saying? This is like something very difficult to craft.
But
it's not like a bespoke chair.
But what if they were trying to just shut down Bosch?
Right. It's not like a Quaker artifact.
Right. It's also much harder to sit on.
That's 100%.
But you're never going to have a Quaker chair made about you. No offense.
I'm from Shaker Country. So I'll get a Shaker chair in my face.
I would love a Funko. An open
what is
chair
happening?
With your face carved into it.
What a horrifying idea.
The eyes follow you around wherever you are.
Getting back to Comic-Con,
let's stay on this.
No, this is good. We'll keep talking about this. We'll go up to Amish country. I don't go for the comics or anything. I just go to use the bathroom, eat some ribs, and then use the bathroom again. And I get right out of there.
Nice.
I work around at Javits Center, and nothing better than just popping in to go to one of those bathrooms at 6 p.m. on a con.
Did you end up buying anything at the con?
Oh, I got stacks of comics. I got a full run of Action Comics Weekly. I went deep in on my 90s. I got some of the 90s Manhunter. I'm a big DC guy.
Yeah.
Hence the Green Lantern T-shirt.
Yes, buddy. I got a Starman, the Will Payton Starman.
Oh yeah,
and Superboy and the Ravers. That's what I was gunning for.
Why is that impressive? Sorry, Justin.
That's a hyper specific era of time. What was that like? Late 90s?
Yeah, I was bored. I was like, you know what? I think I want to try Superboy and the Ravers. Let me see if I can grab it.
Yeah. I've never. This is amazing because like I don't like when I come here. I've never seen these expressions of like you. That was genuine you were genuinely impressed. Justin was genuinely impressed.
It is
because that was Superboy living in Hawaii, jean jacket, buttons. Like,
oh yeah,
these are my friends.
Shades,
and we solve Hawaiian crimes. But, like they fought a number of shark hybrids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's good shit right
And
there.
He would brag about his powers every single issue.
Yeah, I'm a tactile telekinetic.
Absolutely, yes.
I got you. This is, and that I that to me still
Oh, like he had
so
a, like a rap song he sung or something about like, about, no, he like a slogan?
He would explain his powers every time he used
exactly.
them.
Exactly. He was like, well, because it was confusing. He was a tactile telekinetic, meaning he could touch something and like make it fall apart. Yeah. Or like, oh, bringing cool. it together. Yeah. Yeah, cool, but like sort of like...
So if he touches like a hammerhead shark, it just falls apart into like its component organs? Or
he mostly did it with guns and like technology.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Cars. But he could have done it with a shark.
Did he surf?
He didn't need to. He could fly.
He could fly, dude.
How are you supposed to solve crimes in Hawaii if you're not surfing?
Yeah. The waves crash on the beach, and that's where he's waiting.
Oh, boy. Sweet. Now, Pete, you also went to the con. You had a big experience there, right?
Yeah, I had a nice moment. I totally geeked out because Daniel Warren Johnson, I was seeing on Twitter, he was there. So
tell us who that is, because it sounds like just a person.
Right. Well, he is just a person, but he wrote Murder Falcon, which was my favorite book that came out this year. And so I got on the t-shirt that I made from his comic book, went to the con and beelined for his booth, and I got to meet him. I thanked him for the comic, and then he wanted to take a t-shirt or a picture with me.
Take the t-shirt you made?
Yeah, well, he was like, that's mine! That's mine. You shouldn't have that kid.
Or, like, he wanted a t-shirt of your face on him. Yeah.
It's pretty cute, actually. You can see on his Instagram story, it's like a stop motion as Pete's shirt slowly gets pulled off.
And I'm just wearing a barrel underneath it. But
it's a hobo.
Yeah, he...
Well, you always wear a barrel underneath your t-shirts.
You gotta wear a barrel. Yeah, otherwise... Yeah.
Who knows when you're going to fall off a waterfall?
Yeah, when you're nude. When you're nude, the first move is to get a barrel around your body.
Oh, yeah.
And some fun suspenders to hold it to your shoulders.
Exactly. And that's, you know, the fun suspenders, that's
and
where the
I know a great barrel maker, which I'm hoping to get my face on.
Oh, from Quaker
barrel,
Country?
Barrel pop.
Oh, man. But, yeah, and I was geeking out, and then he was super excited that I made that T-shirt, and I told him that I'd gotten a regulation shirt. I wasn't interested in
regulation.
Well, I didn't want him to think that I was like, you know, like just making t-shirts and not supporting him. So I was like, you know, I got a real t-shirt that when you finally came out with t-shirts.
Love the idea that you ran up to a person you admire and were like, hey, I bought a real t-shirt, though. I love you. I brought a real t-shirt.
What if he was like, it's too late, you scab. I don't like you.
Yeah. Cease and desist. Cease and desist.
And he signed my graphic novel, and it was very sweet.
That's great. Aww.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Did you guys meet anyone, celebrities there? I didn't go. I did not go. Full disclosure. I tried. I actually couldn't get a pass.
It was hard.
You should just hang out in the front.
Really?
Just when you see someone who looks like, I can't do another day of this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You just
grab their pass off their neck.
It's like seeing someone miserable and be like, I want to do what you just did.
Yeah. Pete was stole his way into the con and then sold fake Murder Falcon. He's a scumbag.
I'm a real fan.
He's a hungry scumbag.
Yeah. I mostly for work, but I stuck to a bunch of the TV paddles I checked out. So I saw the screening of the Watchmen pilot, which was kind of amazing. I thought that was great. Went to the Watchmen party after that, I was telling you guys.
Okay, yeah. Yep. It's called bragging, for sure.
Yeah, sure.
It was great. That was fine. I think Alan Moore would have been very excited about like the bumping 90s music at the party.
He was DJing, actually.
He was like, yeah, what's
really,
up?
He's really lightened up.
I love this. Yeah. Put my name on this.
He's selling whiskey, and he's pitching a show where he rides bicycles.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I handed these to Pete. They were giving out, well, not giving them out, I just stole a stack so we could give them away on the show, but they had Watchmen coasters,
and then they had
Watchmen pillows throughout that everybody also stole. And again, I was like, yes, this is in the spirit of Watchmen. Thank you.
Oh, they weren't, the coasters, I think, stealing coasters seems fine, I guess, but the pillows, I feel like you could also steal those because, like, you could never use those again.
Right.
A pillow?
Well, I think it's fine to steal them.
The whole thing with pillows is you use them every night.
But a Watchman pillow.
You can use that. You don't have to throw anything away.
Yeah. I throw away my whole bed.
I'm so wasteful.
So decadent.
You guys don't throw your blender every time you use it?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, man. I got that Walking Dead 1 money coming in.
That's nice.
So it's all good.
Great. And if I remember correctly, you got drunk enough at the Watchmen party to buy a ticket to see Joker.
Yes. So I went to the Watchmen party. I hadn't eaten a lot all day. I ate like
4 tiny hors d'oeuvres while I was there.
I think those are called Alan Moore themed jalapeno pies. Right?
Yes, that's what he's. Yeah. Yeah.
He's in the back, like, are they enjoying them? Are they good? This is like my greatest creation.
I put a little splash like on the comedian's pin. I hope everybody likes it. It's fun.
A splash of Alan Moore.
Just have a little fun, you know? More brand ketchup. They were serving with Watchmen 3 drinks there, and I had a Dr. Manhattan, which I was like, all right,
that's pretty clever.
Very strong drink, so I did not realize how drunk that I got until I was walking out of the party, stumbling down 34th Street, passed by the AMC Theater, and I was like, guess I should just see what time Joker
is. Oh, like for that night?
Wow. That night.
Oh, I thought you meant like for like next week or something.
No, I was not drunk for a week. I stumbled down 34th Street, I saw it, and Joker was starting in 2 minutes. I was telling Pete this earlier. This is legitimately like clearly the drunkest I've been in a while because I was buying the tickets and I could see my fingers pressing the buttons to buy the ticket on the machine. And there was a voice in the back of my head being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
This is like, you know,
it's 11
like,
o'clock.
Was that,
go
the voice,
home.
Was that the voice of the Joker?
Yeah. He was like, let's get twisted.
I love, you know, like,
buy some popcorn, get butter on it.
In like a 1940s movie, like the Lost Weekend or something, when someone's like drunk, there's like this scene where they're stumbling down the street and there's like neon signs and a thing. For you, that's a marquee with the Joker.
Yeah,
that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, far Spider-Man, Far From Home. The Joker.
Wah, 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 wah.
The one that says, go see your family. He's like, no, how to do that. Fuck that one. Smashes that one with a rock.
Were there other cocktails?
There was the rest of them were based on characters from the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like a Sister Nightcap instead of Sister Night is Regina King's character
sure.
in the show.
Good.
And there was a Looking Glass, which is Tim Blake Nelson's character in the show.
Damn.
There you go. But nothing else themed around.
Was the Dr. Manhattan? Last question about the cocktails.
Oh, no, I'm happy to answer.
Was the Dr. Manhattan blue?
It was blue.
Cool.
Which I was very happy about.
It had to be blue. Gross.
Yes. It had blue curacao in it. So disgusting. It was gross. It was
no. But thank God for every drink that needs to be blue for some themed reason, it has to have that ingredient.
Yeah. Yeah,
blue's not a natural color for food or drink.
No,
just so we're all on board.
Just like Dr. Manhattan. Bam.
Exactly. And as I say, for any good Manhattan, it's stirred with a blue penis.
Or
a regular penis.
Yeah. Speaking of which, check out our podcast, Watchmen Watch, which posts on Mondays and Thursdays for patter like this.
Yep. Don't say
what
it like
was
that.
Your favorite cosplay that you saw though?
Favorite cosplay? There was a family that was dressed like the Belchers from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, nice.
That's
which
nice.
Was pretty cute. It was three of them. I don't remember which of the cast, but there was Bob and Christian Schaal's character and one of the other Tina. Is that the one who likes butts?
I think I see a million Tinas at every Comic-Con, yeah. So that seems likely. What about you, Mavin?
I'm opposed to cosplay.
But you still have to see it.
I don't have any favorite.
So who is your favorite normally dressed person?
there was this one guy. He was wearing sensible slacks, a brown sweater. Like he... Oh, aces.
He could have blended in anywhere.
That was Bruce Banner, dude. That was cosplay.
Oh, man.
Wow. My mind is blown.
I saw someone who was a Green Lantern who had fabric that shot out to a dude in a green suit.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, that was basically because he was standing, and then the guy in the green suit was like looking at the menu.
Ordering food.
Yeah, the food court.
That's fun times.
And I laughed, and then I was also like, yeah, Green Lantern's dumb.
Whoa.
Shots fired! Wow. Dude, you came at cosplay, so I had to do it.
Wow.
You know what?
On that note, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys get to make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
For that, I'm going to come out to you guys. Raise your hand. I already see a bunch of them up over here. Oh, my goodness. So many of them. You're going to get some free stuff from Pete, including Watchmen-themed coasters.
Yeah.
What's your name? What's your question?
Hey, my name is Kier. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, so you guys were talking about Walking Dead, and for me, the Walking Dead first episode was my favorite episode because it had the best hook. And I was wondering, what's a show or comic that you read, like the first episode or the first issue, that really hooked you, being like, I got to be a fan of this forever?
Ooh, nice. Strong first episodes or issues.
Yeah.
Can it be not sci-fi show?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I got it.
the first issue of Murder Falcon, I made a T-shirt, so I got to say that.
That's true. What is your T-shirt budget these days?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Wow. Okay.
What about
well,
yours?
Well, you're being sued by the guy now, apparently.
Yeah.
For
yeah. Said the guy who has a pile of T-shirts sitting next to
him. I'm operating at a T-shirt deficit right now. I'm in the red on T-shirts.
Yeah. Justin, do you have an answer?
First episode or issue that really was... I mean, one that comes to mind first is the Vision series that Tom King did was one that I was like, oh, this is melancholic and awesome right out of the gate. That really drew me right in.
Melancholic,
yeah. Sad. Lightly sad. Like a sad theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably say TV, Mad Men. I really...
Really? Nice.
And for comics, I'd say Starman, the Jack Knight.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's my shit, too. That Zero. Because the Zero issue was first, I think,
right.
for that. It's part of Zero Hour.
Yeah. I thought TV-wise, you were going to say The Shield, because we talk about that show so much. And and specifically, the pilot of that show is what hooks you. Like, there's a lot of other good shows, but that one is like last minute of that episode.
It is,
this is a different kind of show than I thought it was.
But it's also very pilot-y in terms of like everyone's explaining who they are. Like it has all the flaws of a pilot. It's a great first episode, but it has a lot of pilot-y flaws.
That's probably my answer.
Wow, I like that you let him poke holes.
No, he's not wrong. I still think it hooks you. Like,
why do you say
you.
Probably?
Yo, that's it. You were like, I thought you were going to say The Shield. The Shield's great. I love The Shield. That's my answer. You auditioned your answer.
Yeah. I'm going to ask all the Q&A who's like, I have a question. It's just being like, here's why I like your movie or whatever. Yeah. It's more of a review.
Really more of a comment, actually.
I don't have a good answer for I don't read enough comments to have one for like that, to like know it from the beginning. Like, I'm not enough of a fan to have like...
That's why I open up to TV shows, you know, for you.
That did... Well, he said TV shows. I just said not sci-fi TV shows.
Why are you trolling out our guests? Right?
I'm the only person you haven't defended on this episode. Michonne, Daryl...
Comics-wise, Lock and Key, I mean, pretty obvious answer.
Great
but
answer.
That first issue is so amazing. We had to read every single issue of that comic book. And TV-wise, Pushing Daisies, first episode is... Thank you.
Firm clap from the audience on that.
No, that is a perfect first episode. It's everything that I wanted out of that first episode, and it completely sucked me into that show. Nice. Loved it. Great question. Let's come over here to Clapping Guy. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and I'm disappointed about the Bosch Funko Pop just because it would have been my third Titus Welliver.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
What are the other two?
Yeah, what are the other two?
Lost and Shield.
Wow.
Actually, I don't know if they have.
Okay.
There's definitely a Lost one, I'm sure.
Yeah,
there's got to be a Lost one.
Yeah.
Now, but going off of that and the T-shirts over here, what is like the most obscure or weird piece of merch you bought or just really, really admired?
Ooh, obscure merch. Alex, for a while, used to bring us junk food themed around geek stuff that you got. Did you get it at work or did you just buy it?
Usually
this
at
is
work,
like a couple years ago. You had like, this is maybe a dream I had, but do you have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle themed Oreos? What is it?
Avengers Twinkies. Yeah, this was at work. I used to get this stuff a lot. And then there were some people who hit us up through the show and were like, hey, can we send you some Avengers fruit snacks to try on your show live? And we're like, yeah,
you're
sure.
Like, sure. Roll the dice,
I'll
dude.
Do literally whatever.
I'll tell you what. I bet they're not going to be good.
Yeah. Wait, what was the question?
What's the most obscure merch that you...
Or like merch that you love or admire that's attached. Mm-hmm. Like that, because I do think we encounter a lot of like hyper-specific merch.
Yeah.
Right, we do.
I got a package of screeners for Homecoming, the show that happened last year that Sam Esmail did, and it was wrapped up in all this... like it was like finding a time capsule in the ground when you pulled it out.
Interesting.
Go ahead, Pete.
I think for me, like, I think it was maybe my first or second con. I saw a Douglas Adams T-shirt, and I lost my mind. And it just said, "Don't panic." And I
did
was,
you make it yourself, or was it an original?
Wait, don't panic. Why did you lose?
Because I've never seen Douglas Adams merch anywhere in my life, and I didn't know it was a thing. And then I was like, holy shit, I'm getting this T-shirt.
Oh, yo, this was back when we first started going to cons and stuff. Yeah.
So I said that at the beginning.
It's just funny to be like, I feel like I've seen that T-shirt like 100 times.
Because I wear it all the fucking time. Yeah, it was my favorite T-shirt. And I always carry around a towel with me because of fucking Douglas Adams. So, like, that was just...
Wait, what?
It always really spoke
to me. In real life, you carry around a towel everywhere?
You carry a towel with you, yes.
Wait, do you really carry a towel? I mean, I believe that. I guess 13 years of doing the show should not make this surprising at all. You actually carry a towel everywhere?
In my backpack every day.
We've learned a lot about your patterns on this episode of the show.
Cool.
About, like, the way you live your life when you're not here. And I'll tell you what, it fits. It really fits the picture.
Well, yeah, so
the profile.
That was very niche, but I was very excited.
Yeah. I don't know if this counts as merch, but on the Walking Dead beat, one of my favorite things that I have for Andrew Lincoln's last episode of the show, I got from ANC, they sent out the first script page of his last episode signed by Andrew Lincoln. And like a couple of press people who have covered Walking Dead pretty religiously.
That's pretty
got
cool.
It, which is really cool. Like, I feel like
you can also frame that on your wall. It's kind of tasteful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I have it on my wall. There you go. Thanks. You came by, right? You framed it?
I came by. I was trying to steal it. I was trying to Ocean's 11 you. But,
but you only had to Ocean's to me.
Have you Ocean's 11'd all of us?
Yeah.
At the three, there's three of us.
I feel like where's your wallet?
Yeah.
Whoa! Oh, great trick.
Oh, it's not in
my
pocket.
I actually have answers for this, believe it or not. And they're not nerdy either. I have...
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
Okay. Well, okay. I have this is in my office, actually. An ad for like DHL, a 1980s ad that was illustrated by Gary Larson. And it's kind of interesting only because I just bought it on eBay. It's like just from a magazine, but you can't really buy that much of his, you know, he's kind of reclusive. He doesn't, you know, although I heard he's publishing new stuff.
Yeah, he's coming back.
I can't wait.
Yeah, but
that was a big thing at the con this year. You could do the whole send from the school where it says pull.
What if it sucks?
Really?
What if he comes back to the Far Side?
That's what my friend. That's what everyone's saying. I don't know.
You know what? He's been a living for so long, thinking of cartoons that he was like, well, I don't do that anymore. He's going to write them all down again.
I'm optimistic, but obviously, there's always that risk.
What if he comes out with the first one and it's a cow and it's like, I like to call him Drumpf.
Oh, yes, that would be bad. That'd be bad because that'd be my joke for our week's episode. The other thing is the weirder one I remember that I bought just because it was insane at the time when Armageddon came out, the movie.
You got a bunch of animal crackers and saved them just in case.
For the real fans out there.
It was kind of controversial at the time, which is weird because like the internet barely existed, but it was like they had these like, it was like nuclear chocolate and it was kind of like a news story for 24 hours, but like it was like just some chocolate bar or something, but it was called like nuclear atomic chocolate, and like I think the description was like it'll make your skin fall off or something weird like that, and people were like, this is kind of grotesque.
And that was an Armageddon tie-in.
Yes
That wasn't a Chernobyl tie-in.
No, yeah. They were ahead of the time. They were ahead of the time.
Wow.
Bruce Willis needs to bring this chocolate to the moon and put it in the asteroid so it blows up and it splits into pieces and doesn't hit the Earth. It goes around it. But he's actually the one. He brings a team and they are like, are they going to make it back to Earth? But then he stays behind because some fucked up stuff happens.
Basically, you can't enjoy the chocolate unless you've read the tie-in graphic novel we made.
Yeah.
It sets up the chocolate and then you get it.
Right. Because he was famously an oil driller.
He also had a
chocolatier on the side.
Max Brent, they're both bald.
Yeah, Michael Bay talks about that all the time. He was like, we had this whole chocolatier subplot.
Are we going to teach astronauts to drill an asteroid or get a guy that does drilling and is a side chocolateer and train him to be an astronaut and send him up into space?
At the end of the movie, we had this whole scene where Ben Affleck danced on Liv Tyler with chocolate-dipped animal crackers as a way of bringing the two worlds together in honor of the father.
That's true.
But we had to cut the scene.
Yeah.
And then Aerosmith plays.
Hey, that's movie making.
Nathan?
Oh, Matt. Mavin.
Mavin. God damn it.
It's, you fucked up.
It's fine. So, like, yeah. Last year, there was a concert that had... they played the music from The Leftovers, the TV show that everyone knows and loves. And they gave out, like, little fake cigarettes, like, for the Guilty Remnant. So that was, like, a cool little...
They gave out real cigarettes.
Yeah. But also, at that concert, I sat next to Chip Zdarsky and Nick Spencer.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Should have punched Nick Spencer in his face.
Those are comic book people?
Those are comic book people. Why would I punch Nick Spencer?
Because of he turned Captain America into a Nazi.
And then he turned Captain America not into a Nazi.
Yep.
So doesn't that balance out?
Nope. Yeah.
No, man. Pete doesn't forgive anything.
Do the math. It doesn't.
If Hitler un-Nazified all of Germany, he'd be totally cool, right?
Yeah. Nick Spencer traveled back in time and killed baby Hitler or something like that. I read about
that. What's that?
Nick Spencer traveled back in time and killed baby Hitler.
Oh, I thought you meant Hitler traveled back in time and killed himself.
Oh, shit. Whoa, my bad. Unfortunately, we're running a little low on time, so I think that is it for your audience questions.
Come on. Well, there was still...
There's another show after this, you guys.
Okay, fine.
I'm trying to be respectful of our theater space.
What if we just cut trivia?
Yeah, we could just cut trivia.
Wait, what?
What, are you crazy? I'm setting you up to not want to do that.
No, but the audience is the star of trivia, so we should do audience questions.
Okay.
All right. Whatever. Did you write... hold on. Did you just not come up with a John Candy movie this time?
I have trivia.
Slam.
Do you have a John Candy movie?
I had a whole thing prepared, but, you know, let's skip
it. Let's do it. It's time for trivia with Pete LePage.
Sorry, audience.
It's all right. I want to see how this plays out.
All right, great.
Speaking for the audience.
Pete LePage, an extra in a scene where the audience is the star called trivia.
Great.
Because Pete's an extra. A background actor.
Can I...
Please. But usually you let the actors talk, and in the background, you're not supposed to say much.
Yeah, we're going to have to take this again, I think.
I think we're going to have to start, because Pete, you're looking right
at the camera. This is why I got a time, because you're a piece of shit.
No, you made it clear you're not the star. I was trying to make you a star, but fine.
This is the part we give back to the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in a former gift card to Midtown Comic. Who would like $25 free? First hand up guy, come on down. Sorry, sir.
Nice.
So today's trivia is on topical comic news. It's a different bonus round than because you complained every time about John Candy. I finally changed it.
Is it because I complained about John Candy or you ran out of John Candy movies?
There is a ridiculous number of John Candy movies.
There is a finite number of John Candy movies.
That's true, but it's still a lot.
As long as Uncle Buck was one of them.
It was.
Thank God.
All right, here we go. Question number one. What is Scott Snyder calling the best D&D campaign you will go on? Is it A, DC's Black Label, The Last God, #1? B, The Dragon Who Laughs, #1? Or is it C, Callista Flockhart? So it's either A, if you have any kind of knowledge of comics whatsoever.
Okay, I'll go with A.
A is correct. Nice.
Great job.
Question number two. Ryan Coogler is signed on to produce what Amazing Image comic? Is it A, Bad Dog, B, Bitter Root, or C, Gene Hackman?
I'll go with B.
Yes, that is correct.
Nice.
All right. Marvel's The End line returns in 2020. Who is writing Deadpool The End #1? Is it A, Joe Kelly, B, Tim Drake, or is it C, Hank Azaria?
Joe Kelly is correct.
$25 free.
Incredible. Now, as we may or may not know, Pete's third answers form a pattern.
That's right.
Used to be John Candy movies. Now it's something different. Repeat the third answers, Pete.
Callista Flockhart, Gene Hackman, and Hank Azaria.
Great. And of course, since this is a comic book talk show, I'm sure it's comic book themed, whatever this movie is, unlike the John Candy thing that we've been running for the past 5 years.
Yep.
It's The Birdcage.
That is correct. It is The Birdcage.
Great.
The Birdcage. And now for an extra bonus, can you guess what actor we're going to focus the trivia around for the next
5 years?
Infinity?
Yes, that's right.
It's Robin Williams.
Nice job!
Oh, Jesus, great. I hate to bring it up. That's also going to be a finite list.
Yep.
It is. We're going to ride it out, though.
I'm sorry.
We're going to ride it out.
Looking forward to the one-hour photo answer on that one. That's a fun
As we
one.
All know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Ronin Island number 7.
Wow.
Ooh,
really?
Any reason, Pete?
I don't know if you've heard of this Greg Pak guy, but he's a hell of a writer.
Tell us about the comic, though. Yeah, the comic is what you're talking about.
Well, the comic is interesting because it's about this island that is taken over by zombies. And,
I really thought you were going to say by rodents.
Yeah. And it's about the people cover. From different classes coming together with different statuses in life and kind of dealing with this zombie thing.
Great. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
You know, I think I got to say Powers of X or Powers of 10, number 6 comes out tomorrow, closing out the Jonathan Hickman sort of two-part series relaunch of the X-Men. And man, this has been so good. I'm excited to see where it lands. I feel like while House of X is set up how the X-Men are doing, this is going to introduce sort of the antagonist for the X-Men going forward, and I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah, and we're going to have a review of that in our Stack podcast that rolls out Wednesdays at 9 a.m., both in the Stack comic book podcast feed as well as the Comic Book Club live feed. I'm looking forward to the Batman's Grave number 1 is coming out tomorrow by Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch. So excited to see them together again. Awesome team. I don't think they've ever worked specifically on a solo Batman title before, and that's very exciting. Yeah. What about you guys? What do you want to plug of your own? What should people check out?
Oh, I would plug Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. That's the only thing I have going on. Nice. So,
cool.
Yeah,
cool.
That's all it. Right.
And do you have Twitter? Do you have Instagram, anything?
I do have Twitter and Instagram. I don't know what they are.
Wow.
God, this keeps happening.
No, one is... My Twitter is The Hard Mantra, and my Instagram is A Harm That Rend.
Nice.
All right.
Cool.
Pat?
All right, so next Tuesday, I'm going to be out spinning all night. I'm just kidding. Full Frontal, Wednesdays, 10:30 TBS.
Nice.
Walking Dead,
except not tomorrow. But
baseball.
Because of baseball. Yeah. Which I'm playing in the Braves game, so watch me there.
And
then I'm at Patrick_Castles on Twitter.
All right.
So check me out there.
And it's the word underscore written out.
Yeah. But Castles is not written out, actually.
It's just a picture of a castle.
Yeah. It's emoji of a castle.
That's hard.
The most confusing handle ever written.
Couple of things we want to plug before we go. You can support the show at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a bunch more podcasts. We mentioned the Watchmen Watch podcast earlier. That is wrapping up a breakdown of Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' comic book series. We've been doing that issue by issue. We're also then going to transition that into talking about the TV show once that launches on October 20th. Also, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, is back this week.
Yeah.
Talking about the show that goes up Wednesdays at 9 p.m. right after the show airs. We put it up 12 hours before the show.
Yeah, fuck them.
Really, fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck the man.
Don't say that.
Yeah. No, fuck the man.
Yeah, fuck the man.
No, I thought you were talking about Riverdale.
No, we love Riverdale.
That's great.
Don't worry, Pete.
All right.
Yeah, you can keep selling your unlicensed Riverdale shirts.
It's cool.
Yeah. We do sell unlicensed Riverdale shirts.
That's what we can keep doing.
Yeah, there you go. Comicbookclub.threadless.com. Wow, check that out.
That really blew up. That really blew up in our faces.
Why would you do that? We could have played it off like a joke the whole time.
I honestly thought it was a joke.
There you go. That's the funniest joke of all. That's how the Joker gets you.
Twisted.
Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe and comment on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Android, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Mathen for being on the show. Did I get it right?
You got it.
Okay. Pat!
Yeah. Thank you.
Boothman Prime, a.k.a. Prime. Alan Moore? Was that the joke you made earlier?
It's Booth Main Prime.
Booth Main Prime. Yeah. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night,
sir.
Guys.
Thanks for showing
up. Thank you, Aaron and John.